You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks, and this segment was produced by the support of the Local Journalism Initiative. Today we're taking a careful look at the political and administrative turmoil that has gripped the town of Cookshire Eaton in recent weeks, and then hearing directly from the former Interim Director General at the center of it all, Jean-Charles Bellemare, who sat down with me for a long interview on December 13th to give his personal account of what happened. Before we get to that interview, it's important to understand the broader context, because this situation did not begin with Bellemare, and it does not end with him. Over the fall, Cookshire Eden has experienced an extraordinary level of political instability, marked by deep divisions on council, public anger, union grievances, and an integrity report issued by Quebec's municipal watchdog. At the center of many of these debates is the role of the Interim Director General, or DG, and how the municipality should move forward administratively. In late November, the Commission Municipale de Québec released an integrity report identifying administrative shortcomings at the municipal level. Importantly, the report did not find criminal or civil liability against any individual, but it did flag weaknesses in areas such as human resources structure, conflict of interest management, and financial controls. The town has been ordered to respond with corrective measures by early 2026. At the same time, the Confédération des Syndicats Nationaux, the CSN, confirmed that grievances involving the interim DG were advancing to the Tribunal Administratif du Travail. The grievances alleged psychological harassment and reprisals. No tribunal has ruled on these allegations, and the legal process is ongoing. Public frustration came sharply into view on December 1st when a council meeting was cancelled after four councillors refused to sit unless the meeting was moved to a smaller venue, the town hall, even though more than 200 residents had gathered at the Salle Guy Veilleux in Cookshire. The meeting was postponed, residents remained in the hall demanding answers, and the episode intensified public concern about transparency and governance. Council later reconvened on December 8th, moving forward with delayed decisions and clarifying that the interim DG's contract would be honored financially, but that his employment would be terminated. Throughout this period, councillors have expressed sharply different views on leadership, process, and accountability. Some have pushed for patience while investigations proceed. Others have argued that unresolved grievances and integrity findings make stability impossible. What is clear is that Cookshire Eaton remains deeply divided, politically, administratively, and emotionally, and that the situation is still evolving. Against that backdrop, I sat down on December 13th with Jean-Charles Bellemare, the former Interim Director General. What you're about to hear reflects his personal account of events, his interpretation of what happened before, during, and after his suspension and dismissal. It's important to stress that these are his views, not findings of a court or tribunal, and that legal processes are still underway. That said, Bellemare wanted to explain his role, his mandate, and why he believes he became, in his words, a political casualty. Bellemare says he was brought into Cookshire Eaton on a part-time interim basis last summer to help stabilize a municipality already struggling with internal division following the departure of the previous Director General. As the municipal election approached, he says his responsibilities expanded dramatically, serving simultaneously as interim DG, interim treasurer, clerk, and eventually president of elections after another employee went on sick leave. He says that after the election, he asked council for clarity about his future, not a guarantee, but a decision. Instead, he says, he was suspended without pay on November 17th, citing allegations that he had refused to collaborate, allegations he disputes. In our interview, Bellemare argues that he was hired to confront entrenched problems, particularly in human resources, and that doing so made him a target. At one point, he summed it up this way: "I walked into a hornet's nest that was already kicked, and they shot the messenger." Mr. Bellemare, you held a press conference on Tuesday morning. Tell me a little bit about that.
It was not as, like a press conference, like the traditionally we used to do with all the media and everybody, because it was on my own. on my own initiative. I was waiting for the town to make a decision before I come out and explain my story. So that's why I waited till Tuesday. I found out in the newspaper that their decision was to not terminate the contract, to actually honor the contract, but to terminate the employment. So yeah, so I found out Tuesday morning, so I decided to do a like a press meeting where I was reading a release and answer some questions. So that's what I did on Tuesday morning.
What were the highlights of what you said?
So I explained the story that that took place maybe a month or a few weeks before I got hired by Cookshare Eden. So the story is that the previous GM, his name was Martin Tremblay, he was there for quite a while. I think it was a little over 12 or 14 years. So when he left, that was mid-May, there was already a split, not only in council, but within staff. So some people were actively looking to take the former GM's place. And May 21st, there was a special meeting where the employee was nominated interim GM, but the mayor, Mr. Jean Dron, was mayor back then, put a veto on that motion. And then there was another special meeting where they revised this decision and decided to go outside and hire an interim GM until they post the job and hire someone. So that's when I came in. So I came in, my first day in Cookshearton was June 23rd. The contract I had back then was the an external source, more like a freelance position. I was billing the town, so it was a part-time position. So I was working, you know, 2 to 3 days a week. That was for that period of time. So because there was a split, not only in council, but also within the staff, Mr. Jean Dron back then wanted me to focus primarily on human resources situation, try to resolve them. So that's what I did. There were a lot of tensions, and basically the fact that I focused on those issues, trying to resolve them, heightened those tensions and kind of increased the split within council and within staff. So fast forward close to the election. So that was the situation until the last day to put out the public notice for the election was September 19th. The person that was president of the election was on sick leave. So they had to do something. I was already president of the election in a different town on a freelance basis as well. And so they were quite in trouble. I tried to find someone to replace that person without any luck. So I sat down with council and with Mr. Jean Dron, and what was decided was to start a new contract, 6 months, full-time on payroll position as interim GM, but also interim treasurer and GSA, which would give me the permission, quote-unquote, to be president of election by the Commission Municipale. So that's what we did. So I was nominated the day before the last day to give the public notice to be president of election. So it was quite a last-minute situation. So then I did the election with all the, the things that were put out in public about the troubles we had with the Canada Post strike and all that trouble. So then on November 2nd, the election took place. Mrs. Raymond got elected as the mayor. And within that week, the week of starting Sunday the 2nd, I met with her quite a few times trying to plan the first public meeting that was on November 10th and to settle the transition between her and the former mayor. Now, I have to open a parenthesis here. You know, I had many hats. Basically, I was GM, treasurer, and Gaetier, which is my full-time position, plus president of the election. So it was quite a lot of work and trying to, do the transition. But the transition in itself is between the two mayors. So, the outcoming mayor and the newcoming mayor, they have to resolve their issues. They have to sit down. And I'm not, this is that's politics. I don't get involved in that. So I close the parenthesis. So that week of November 2nd, we met quite a few times. We plan a work meeting on the Friday, which is the 7th. In that meeting, we discuss, all the paperwork, stuff we have to fill for all the new members of council to be sworn in. The paperwork for conflict of interest they have to fill, all that legal things, and the items to be on the agenda for November 10th. So, I have the agenda for, the ongoing issues. There were discussions with some members of council already then about trying to move forward with the GM position. Some members of council wanted me to stay. The mayor opposed. Some other council members were undecided, I'd say, because, they were just elected. So what I mentioned at that time is, no matter what the decision is, whether they want me to stay or not, is up to them. But for me, as a, working person who has, family and whatnot, I would like for them to commit before going off for Christmas holidays, because finding a job of that sort is quite a lengthy process. It takes, average 6 weeks between the job posting and the actual hire to happen. So if they decide to move forward and hire someone else, that's fine. I just like to know before leaving on holiday, so when I'm back, I can start finding another job. So I'm not unemployed coming mid-March when my contract expires. That's all I said. So, on November 10th, the meeting happened. There's no item on the agenda about either, renewing or not my contract when it expires. So the meeting happens. Everything's fine, fine and dandy. At the end of the meeting, there's one of the staff member, one of the manager within the staff that wanted to read a letter and have that letter on file for that meeting, which was a letter from all the eight managers within my employees saying how they appreciate working with me and how since I got hired, everything was, slowly moving forward in the right direction, and they have confidence in my managing skills and they'd like me to stay. So that's what happened then. So that's on November 10th. So then on that week, had a few exchanges with the new mayor, but, you know, nothing, you know, of substance. But still, you know, nothing else, you know, nothing positive, nothing negative, just regular business, municipal business email exchanges and whatnot. And then on November 17th, which is the Monday, I was supposed to be on vacation, but I agreed to come in the office still because she wanted me to meet with her. So that's what I did. I drove all the way up to Cookshire, and at 8:30-ish, she gave me the letter saying I was suspended without pay for investigation on alleged... I don't know how to translate it properly, but it's basically kind of a refusing to work with her. So that happened on November 17th. Between November 17th and December 8th, I had one meeting with the mayor that lasted 5 minutes, where she... laid out a few reasons why she thought she had, you know, things against me, but those things had very little to do with not collaborating with her. She said she had the feeling that I did not like to work with her, and then she named, there was a report from the municipal commission about issued a conflict of interest between the treasurer and her spouse on a contract that was given out in May, so way before I got hired. She said there were things in that report that she didn't appreciate without naming anything that had to do with me. She said that there were grievances from the union against me, and that was what she didn't appreciate, and that's why I was suspended without wage. She didn't have anything by writing. She said it wasn't ready yet. And that was on December 1st, and that was the meeting that was supposed to be, according to Article 52 on the town, city and town bill, she has to... Once she suspends me, she has to give counsel a written report on the reason why she suspended, and then counsel has to pass a resolution on the state of affairs and whether or not I suspended or not. So that was the same day that was supposed to happen. Now, there was some legal issues about changing places, changing council meeting place, and so the meeting didn't happen, and it only happened on December 8th, and that's when my contract was honored, but my employment was terminated with town for multiple reasons, which up to this day I'm still not aware of, because the actual written report, from my understanding, was never actually given to council members. Now, in between, there was a lot of things said about me, about the grievances, about, you know, a lot of things. I'm not going to repeat them on the radio today, but a lot of those things were, at the best, extremely exaggerated, if not completely false. Some of those things that were said were, I would say the majority of what was said was confidential. There's a lot of, you know, legal things that should have been kept confidential. Everything that has to do with HR is usually confidential. Now, there were a lot of meetings that happened within the community, at the community center, with a group of elected officials that I wasn't there, but that's what was reported in the news and by people that were present at the time. It was, you know, very close to what we would say a public trial on my so-called wrongdoings or whatnot. You know, for legal reason, I kept out of that debate, and I waited until the town actually resolve the issues on their end for me to go out in public and explain what happened. You know, I lawyered up. That was my prerogative to protect interest of my family and my reputation. And we're in the process of resolving the issue.
All right. So under your understanding, the grievances have to do with the HR difficulties you were dealing with previously.
Yes, for sure.
So to clarify, they will honor your contract monetarily, but won't renew.
Exactly. That's my understanding. But up to this day, I still do not know. My understanding is that the motion, the resolution that was adopted on December 8th said that they were going to honor the contract. I had no communication from the town until, I believe it was late Thursday. The mayor sent me a very straightforward email saying that she wanted to meet with me to give me the town's decision. I wanted to see it before, so I asked the mayor to send it to me by email so that I can read it and see what was going to be my next move about that. But she insisted on meeting to, you know, close the file. But, you know, for many reasons, including legal reasons, I would rather, you know, be accompanied by my lawyer at that point. So, you know, that I can see what the town wants to do with this, so then I can make a decision that will not do me any more harm.
What are the next steps for you? You have to deal with these grievances, right?
Well, personally, since I'm not employed anymore, and I mean, and that's the conundrum I'm in, is that my understanding is that the grievance is concerned are between the union and the employer, right? You know, it's not between the union and just one individual person. And usually the grievances are dealt within a working committee between, you know, employer and representative of the union. That's usually how it gets resolved. For some reason, it got way out of hand, I think, since it concerned me as the general manager at the time. What we did, my lawyer and I, is that we asked, there's one grievance that was put as is that the Tribunal Administratif Travail right now, and we put a motion. We asked a third party that could call witnesses and put up proof on the table. So that's in motion right now. So So that's where we're at. So we're studying all the possibilities so that I can clear my reputation and actually get paid what I'm due.
Is it possible you might take legal action against the town?
Things on the table right now. My main priority right now is to clean my reputation, because there was a lot of things that were said in public, online, and in the news, and in interviews that, you know, are either just, you know, plain wrong and completely false, or completely taken out of context and exaggerated. So my main priority right now, you know, there are two, is just get paid and what I do and to clean my reputation. So it's you know, we're gonna go as far as we're as we have to, because I don't think it's, you know, it's the right way of handling human resources on one hand, and you can as an employer not want to work with someone, you know, you just completely, you know, understandable in some ways, and you can be an adult and sit down with a person and explain it and negotiate, and you know, that's what I'm expecting from, you know, elected official. It's within their obligation to be kind of above the you know, above everything, and kind of do what's necessary for the community and what you think is the best for your community. That's what politics all about. But to throw someone under the bus and roll them in the mud is a whole different thing. And I don't think I deserve that public trial and being thrown out a lot of things at. In the meantime, I just don't think that's right.
Do you have a big takeaway, a main message you'd like people to know?
I think the main point, and that's what I was trying to explain to the other media, like CBC and Tribune, is, you know, there were things in motion before I was hired, and you know, I often speak in metaphors, and I actually get on my own nerves sometimes because of that. But anyways, you know, and that's what I told Matthew McAuley when he asked me questions about that on Tuesday, is, you know, I walked in a hornet's nest that was already kicked. I think, I mean, regardless who would have been in my position at the time, the result would have been very similar. The only difference is that I work hard. I'm exaggeratedly honest at some point. I mean, that's my job. I'm a professional problem fixer. When I'm on freelance, I'm called to intervene in municipalities that have trouble to fix whatever problem is. I walk in, I clean, and when I leave, everything's fine and dandy, and they can go on. And that was the whole point of me arriving in Cocheri. Now, when I walked in, you know, trouble was already not even boiling. I mean, it was just like a full-blown council, political, people split. And I was given the mandate to fix it, and they shot the messenger, and, you know, that's exactly what happened. So, you know, my main message is you don't take everything you read in the media for granted, because it is part of a longer narrative, and I'm more or less a political victim in the story. So, you know, take the name out, put any other name, and in the multiverse, it would have been the exact same story. Some people within council and within staff are, you know, they had objectives. They wanted to do whatever it took to, you know, attain their objective. They got it. But it doesn't mean that, you know, I will just roll in and accept to be, you know, rolled in the mud and accept whatever happened.
That was former interim Cookshire-Eaton DG Jean-Charles Bellemare. As always, we'll continue to follow this story closely. No tribunal has ruled on the grievances or allegations involved, and the town of Cookshire-Eaton still faces significant decisions about governance, leadership, and public trust. For now, this interview adds one voice and one perspective to a complex and unresolved situation. You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks. Keep your finger on the pulse.